Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTM Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Tuesday, November 7th. It's time for this week's edition of the Waiver Wire. Unfortunately, I hit record just after some news broke here in the NFL. Carson Wentz landing with the Rams. I'm still trying to process this. It just came out like a minute ago on social media. This could mean one of two things. It could mean, and by the way, they're heading into their bye week, so no major impact here, at least in the short term. But here's what we're looking at. This could be Matthew Stafford's injury is worse than Sean McVay is letting on. Or this could mean Brett Rippon is that bad as a backup quarterback. I really don't know. And honestly, I don't think there's a reason to go out and pick up Carson Wentz right now in Superflex leagues because they are on bye. And I think we'll get more of an indication here as even today goes on, much less as we get to week 11. But as of right now, I don't think there's a move there. Doesn't make a lot of sense, though. Why do you sign this dude if Stafford's going to be fine? Sneaky. Anyway, let's get into it today. At the top of my list, and remember, I always cast a wide net here on the waiver wire. Tank Dell, 15 to 25%. He is fairly widely available. He's available in close to half of leagues out there, which is surprising. He's not always going to put up a massive stat line, but we've seen his ceiling. He's had three 20-plus fantasy point games this season. Ceiling super high. He should be rostered across the board. Number two on my list, Keaton Mitchell, 12 to 20%, flashing some of that Devon Achane ability, explosive, 138 rushing yards on just 9 carries. Now, he's not going to see a big workload in this backfield, but he doesn't need a big workload in this backfield to be productive, and it does look like he's earned himself a role in that backfield. Keaton Mitchell, widely available. Not an absolute spend all your fab type of player. But the theme of this week, as we are now 5 weeks remaining in the fantasy football regular season, is trim the fat and load up on these high ceiling guys. And he is certainly a high ceiling guy. DeMario Douglas, 10 to 15%. It's clear he's the number one receiver now with Kendrick Bourne out for the season. Ran 36 routes that led all Patriots wideouts in route participation. Hunter Henry led the team. He had one more route run, but not a big deal there. A slot receiver, you know, 5 for 55, that's a slot receiver type of line. And I wouldn't expect major upside from him. Obviously, the volatility of the passing game in that team anyway. However, he's going to be involved, and there is some value with him. Chuba Hubbard, 8 to 12%. Surprisingly enough, he's still fairly widely available. If he's not available in your league, not a big deal. Is he a major priority? No, he is not. He's a guy who, if I need a starter right now, I would grab him. I have limited expectations for him. And if I need a bench stash right now, I'm going to go further down the list, to be honest with you. If I'm not getting Keaton Mitchell, I'm going further down the list. However, guys are going to serve different roles when we pick them up off of waivers. And Hubbard's role is, yeah, you need a starter. Yeah, I think he can slide in there as a flex option. Jahan Dotson, 6 to 10%. He's picked it up over the last 2 weeks, 177 yards on 12 catches. Obviously, has 2 touchdowns as well over that span. He's going to be behind Terry McLaurin, but he's now the number two. It's clear, with Curtis Samuel banged up. And Sam Howell's putting up yards, man. He's second in the league in passing yards. I don't even know how it's possible, but it's true. 100% true. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, 6 to 10%. He's not going to out-target DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett every week like he did last week. But what we're seeing, he's trending up over the last several weeks. We have now reached November, and November is the time of year when we start to see those rookies, those priority rookies, the premium rookies. If they haven't already hit the ground running, this is when they start to pick things up. So I love putting him on benches right now. Deontay Foreman, 6 to 10%. And honestly, I would rather him than Khalil Herbert. I know I've gotten a lot of questions about both. Foreman isn't sexy by any stretch, but over the last month, 270 rushing yards, 2 scores, 60 carries. He was a healthy scratch earlier in the season. That's not going to be the case going forward. He's going to be at least in a timeshare, and I think he could be on the right side of the timeshare potentially here in Chicago. Just realize it's the Chicago backfield, though, so there isn't a ton of juice here. Taysom Hill, 6 to 10%. Hey, man, Swiss Army knife, getting it done as a runner, 3 touchdowns over the last 3 games. As a receiver, 1 touchdown over the last 3 games. And as a passer, 1 passing touchdown over the last 3 games as well. It's impressive production, but it's also Taysom Hill, and we've seen him be volatile in the past, so just be aware of what you're getting yourself into. 6 to 10% on Quentin Johnston. No, not based on last night's performance. Based on Josh Palmer going to injured reserve. Last night was a tough matchup, by the way, and they didn't have to throw the football because they were off to a lead right from the gate. They had the punt return, and then it was off to the races for the Chargers. In a better matchup, in a closer game, Quentin Johnston down the stretch could be something here. I definitely want to stash him right now. He may not be starter worthy most weeks, or at least initially here, but as we move into this stretch run, he could certainly be on the radar. All right, Deshaun Watson. Ordinarily, I wouldn't put a player like him because I think he's like 65% rostered, right around there. But why I included him this week, and I'm going 5 to 10% in one quarterback leagues on him, I've gotten so many questions about him. So there's the very real chance he was on waivers in your one quarterback leagues, surprisingly enough. I do think there's top 15 value going forward. I was encouraged by the performance. It wasn't massive, but it didn't have to be because their defense pitched a shutout. But enough questions about him that it is worth adding him. Number 11 is Will Levis, 5 to 10%. And he was officially named the starter going forward. I anticipated that. Honestly, the fantasy numbers weren't as good in week 9 as they were in week 8, but the performance was arguably better. He's the real deal. He's goofy. He's quirky, but he's a big dude. He can throw the ball. He's got a big arm. He's got mobility that we haven't even seen yet, by the way. He's going to be a streamer or better down the stretch here in one quarterback leagues, 5 to 10%. Zach Charbonnet, 4 to 7% on him. He outsnapped Ken Walker this past week. I don't expect that every week. They were playing from behind. He is the passing down option. But because of that, he may surface on the flex radar at times. Also, he's got that implied value. If Walker went down, all of a sudden we're looking at a potential top 15 option in Charbonnet. Marvin Mims, 4 to 7%. We did hear from Sean Payton that the team's going to get him more involved. He's going to be behind Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton, but we know the upside with this kid, and that's the name of the game at this time of year. Jake Ferguson, 4 to 7%. He's kind of turned into Dalton Schultz, maybe a little bit more of an athletic Dalton Schultz, but with the passing game trending up, he is tight end 12 in fantasy scoring. He's going to be in the top 15 conversation going forward as a priority streamer at that very tricky position. Cade Otton, likewise, trending up here, 4 to 7% on him. Coming off of that career day, he had the 2 touchdowns, but he's also had at least 6 targets in each of his last 3 games. He has worked his way up into that streamer territory as well. Noah Brown, all right, 3 to 5%. One thing I've learned over the many years of playing fantasy football, don't chase last week's numbers. Be informed by last week's numbers, but don't chase last week's numbers. 153 yards and a score on 6 catches looks pretty darn good, but the likelihood of that repeating isn't particularly high. Instead, let's take this for what it is. It's an indication he has a high ceiling. And if I'm in a slightly deeper league, I don't mind that whatsoever. Obviously, it's going to be tied to C.J. Stroud. He's playing very good football. So Noah Brown is interesting. I just don't want to go overboard on him. 3 to 5% on Antonio Gibson. Did we finally figure this thing out in Washington? 11 touches, that's his season high. He was heavily involved in the passing game because he's not going to get much work in the run game. We know that. But can he continue to be involved in the passing game? If so, Antonio Gibson could potentially be a flex play in some weeks. I want to take shots on that, though. If waivers is picked over in my league at running back, he could be out there, and he is worth it. Jalen Tolbert, 3 to 5%, chipping away at Michael Gallup's role. And honestly, I think it's only a matter of time before Tolbert is out there as essentially the number 3 receiver for this team behind Brandon Cooks and CeeDee Lamb. he's looked better than Michael Gallup. He scored the touchdown. It was only 3 for 49, but the touchdown helps. And it's not amazing for fantasy purposes, those numbers. No, not at all. But he is worth a stash in deeper leagues, as is Khalil Shakir. The expanded role continued here. More 11 personnel with Dawson Knox out. He out-targeted Gabe Davis 4-2. Now, only 4 targets. But again, I'm looking for, you know, higher ceiling plays, guys in explosive offenses, you know, that sort of thing. Darnell Mooney, 3-5%. Finally, I saw this dude on some milk cartons. Now here he is, showed up, 5 catches, 82 yards. It wasn't massive. But we do know he has a high ceiling. He's got that explosive playmaking ability. And I'm going to cross my fingers on this one. I think Justin Fields will be back under center this week. Jonnu Smith, 3-5%. I mean, they have 3 pass catchers on that team that, you know, in terms of wideouts and tight ends. 2 of them are tight ends, but they have Drake London, Jonnu Smith, and of course Kyle Pitts. Jonnu Smith put up big numbers with Drake London's sideline. I don't expect that every week, but he is a streamer option. There's some volatility here, though, too, of course. Not only the quarterback situation, but the coaching situation. Obviously, we know, if you've read any social media, the play calling of Arthur Smith, not always fan favorite. Hunter Henry, 3-5%. Finally scored another touchdown. He hadn't scored since week 2. And I don't think it's coincidental that happened with Kendrick Bourne out of the lineup. He does have top 20 appeal. Of course, we're tying ourselves to a suspect offense when, you know, when we roster Hunter Henry. Same thing with Luke Musgrave at 23. 3-5%. Scored his first touchdown. Season best, 51 receiving yards. But you're hitching your wagon to Jordan Love. Not always the best idea. Jordan Love didn't look bad this past week, but he has looked bad for a bulk of the season. Moving over to quarterback again, 3-5% on Derek Carr. He's been top 10 in fantasy scoring over his last 5 weeks. Three 300-yard performances. He has 8 passing scores. He's not going to throw a ton of touchdowns. He's Derek Carr. We know exactly what he is. But he could end up being startable in certain weeks down the stretch here in one quarterback leagues. Josh Dobbs, 3-5%. I think he's very rosterable. I actually have him at quarterback 17 for rest of season. He's going to benefit from having a good surrounding cast and certainly could potentially get Justin Jefferson back here soon. We still don't know if that's going to be this week. I don't think it will be, but we do know that Dobbs is going to start this week and essentially be the starter going forward. Very much in play in Superflex. Definitely a deeper league, like a 14 and 16 team league potential starter. He's Dobbs. We know who he is. It's not super sexy, but not a bad situation for him. Kenneth Gainwell, 1-3%. He's only an applied value guy, but he is one DeAndre Swift injury away from a pretty big role in an explosive offense. Better yet, they're on bye this week, so he's going to get overlooked on waivers. You can get him for nothing. Like, nobody's going to want to roster him. This is only a deeper leagues. 1-3%, speaking of deeper leagues, on Ty Chandler. Cam Akers is out for the season. That sucks. But Chandler slides back into that number 2 spot. Alexander Mattison hasn't been particularly impressive, but he'll hold down the fort. But if Madison gets hurt, all of a sudden we're looking at Chandler back in RB2 territory. Juju Smith-Schuster, 1-3%. He saw targets. He actually equaled DeMario Douglas in targets, but only ran half as many routes. Douglas ran 36. Juju ran 18. So he's only worth adding in deep formats. Kyle Phillips, 1-3%. Honestly, I love the chemistry he had with Will Levis. I've really been a Kyle Phillips supporter going back to his time at UCLA. I've often equated him to like sort of a poor man's Julian Edelman, like not as athletic Julian Edelman. That's how he plays the game. But he looked pretty good last week on Thursday night. I think he is worth a look in deeper leagues. 2 more quarterbacks here. Taylor Heinicke, you know, I think we're looking at 10 to 20% in Superflex. Super deep leagues. Maybe he surfaces in one quarterback formats, but really is a Superflex ad. He's going to be the starter this week, and I think he'll be the starter going forward. Tommy DeVito. Now, I only think 5 to 10% in Superflex, not only because he's Tommy DeVito, but he's not even guaranteed to be the starter. Daniel Jones obviously is out for the remainder of the season. We'll see when Tyrod Taylor can come back. Obviously, Taylor will have value if he is able to come off of short-term injured reserve. But Matt Barkley is also on the roster. Matt Barkley was with Brian Daboll in Buffalo. So I don't think it's going to be too much of a transition. Like, it's not a coincidence he was the one who was signed. So something to think about with him, too. Anyway, I wouldn't go overboard with Tommy DeVito. The only reason why he makes the list is because in Superflex leagues, every starting quarterback really should be rostered, even if it's Tommy DeVito. All right, your defenses this week. If you have the following, I am not going to make a move. Dallas is like the top play of the week. Dallas is in a great spot against the Giants and potentially Tommy DeVito. Buffalo. Okay, so Buffalo this week gets Denver. I don't hate that matchup. Cleveland gets Baltimore. Baltimore gets Cleveland. I think both defenses are playing well enough that I'm going to leave well enough alone, and I'm not going to move on from them. New Orleans, if you happen to be rostering them, they get Josh Dobbs. Again, is it an amazing matchup? No, not necessarily amazing, but the way the Saints are playing, I think I'm going to still roll with them. And then Pittsburgh, if you've been rostering the Pittsburgh Steelers, if you tried to take advantage of Will Levis last week, they get Jordan Love this week. The Eagles are on bye. There is no defense out there that is worth a bench spot unless you have like 12 bench spots. So I would move on from the Eagles this week and roster somebody else. Streamer-wise, I like the Jets a lot against the Raiders. Yes, the Raiders played inspired football last week, but the Jets are a different beast in terms of defense that they have to face. Aiden O'Connell under center, I'm still going to pick on the matchup. I'm going to pick on the other side as well because Zach Wilson, I mean, he hasn't been a disaster, but they really couldn't move the football effectively against the Chargers last night. So both the Jets and the Raiders are in play. Seattle is in play. Sam Howell isn't taking as many sacks as he was earlier in the season, but they're still a top five fantasy matchup. The Bears versus Carolina. The Bears are not a good defense, but guess what? Bryce Young threw two pick sixes to a bad defense, or not a great defense last week as well. They are very playable. And then Atlanta, Arizona. Okay, so I think people are reading the news and missing a key part of the news with the Kyler Murray thing. He's not activated off of PUP yet. I'm not saying he's not going to be, but I don't understand why he isn't. If you say he's going to start this week, and that's not exactly what Jonathan Gannon said. He said he'll start this week if everything goes well in practice. Well, you only have until Wednesday to make this decision. So a walkthrough, and then you decide to act. I don't know what's going on. Here's the point. If, and I think there's still an if here, Kyler is not activated and he reverts to season-ending injured reserve, and Clayton Tune is the starter, then Atlanta will be in play. But that's unlikely, and that's something that we'll have to talk about later in the week. Anyway, there you go, the waiver wire recommendations for Week 10. Tomorrow I'll be back. We'll talk rankings for the week. Of course, if you want them before tomorrow, you can go check out ftnfantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. I'm at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, and I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. Guess what? I'm out.